Jesus, Jesus. And that wonderful, powerful blood. Oh God, we rejoice. We rejoice, and all our rejoicing is in the Lamb. Oh, the beautiful Lamb of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that flowed. Thank you, God, for what they sang. Lord, it covers everything. Everything. Lord, thank you how we're washed. Thank you, God, how we've been drawn nigh by the blood. Thank you, Lord, that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And oh, God, how it pleased you to bruise him. What a Savior. What a Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know my infirmity. God, you know our thought afar off. Lord, thank you that you've supplied every need. Thank you, God, that you're after us. We thank you for your passion and desire. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. I apologize asking this, but I have run out of water in the back, and I need a cup of water. So if someone could grab that for me, I do apologize asking, but I need it. You're such precious brother. Thank you, man. All right. Excuse me for a second here. Okay. It's amazing what the water can do, huh? Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Begin reading from verse 8. 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I believe for many this is one of the most encouraging. A double portion. Thank you, brother. Here we go. I believe this is one of the most encouraging passages in the Word of God in many respects. It's ignited my heart. Pretty much every time God has brought it to my mind and ignites your heart with passion. And it ignites your heart with a passion for the promise that God has given you. It gives me hope when things I see don't seem right. It gives me hope when this feller don't feel right. It gives me strength that all of it is because of the promise of the I Am that draws me in, keeps me going, and protects me all my day. Now these words, they stir in us, and they stir a determination, I believe, just as Abraham. Abraham believed God's word, and I thank the Lord for Abraham. Let me tell you, he made many mistakes. But one thing he never made a mistake in, he believed God's word. He made some bad choices, but he believed God's word. He knew his God was faithful. He knew that faith counted him righteous. Praise be to God. He believed God's word, and believing God's word fights how you feel. Believing God's word fight against what you see. Believing God's word fights against all the chirping that you hear. Believing God's word sets you in the promise of God. Genesis 28. God stirred Jacob the same way. I love this. In Genesis 28, God told Jacob in verse 15. Behold, I am with thee, Jacob, and I will keep thee in all the places. Did you hear this? I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. He keeps you always. He's set before you. He's behind you. His hand is upon you. Though you make your bed in hell, he is there with you. Oh, I love my God, my merciful God. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's not me doing it, he said, until I have done. We are his workmanship. He will perform the good work which he has begun in me. Hallelujah! I'm confident in the God who loves me, the God who I am the apple of his eye, the God, praise the Lord, who I am the very good pleasure of his will. I'm learning to quit asking, why do you deal with me? Get over it, son. I love you. Now, I love Deuteronomy chapter 31. We hear a similar thing, how God stirred in Moses to encourage Jacob. We need this. This is going on right now. This wasn't for a time, you know, 2,500, 3,500 years ago. But he said in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, hallelujah. See, all of it was on God. See, Moses knew, oh, honey, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's the one that goes with you. He's the one that won't fail you. Oh, there'll be times you believe not, son, but he abides faithful. Thank you, Lord. Do you realize how heaven is rejoicing right now? Oh, the praises that are going on in heaven, because we're praising him for the glory of his grace. Oh, I thank him. I can see it. I can see the shouting, the eternal, wonderful pleasure of the Father. Thank you, my Father, that I praise your Son, that we give him all the glory, that we give him all the praise. He is the magnificent one. I'll tell you what, we sure have an incredible cloud of witness, don't we? Oh, from the very get-go, believe God, he'll do it. Oh, from the get-go, get on in there. He's promised it. We're well able to take it. I'll perform it. I'll do it. But don't hesitate. Go now. Go now. Go now. Don't draw back. Get in there. If I be with you, let me tell you something. It's done. Praise his name. I think about what God has reinforced in our favor. And it's all to have complete confidence in his promises to us. Complete confidence in the promises of God to us. And see, that's what the inheritors of the promises are all about. The inheritors of the promises of God are all about being confident in grace. Full overcomers are confident in the grace of God. Full overcomers are not confident in themselves. And full overcomers are not confident in somebody else's flesh either. I pray you go with God, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, I pray by his grace, it'll hurt me, but I'm going on. My faith was never built up in a man, and I thank the Lord. We had a pastor for years. You got a pastor now. Don't you put your confidence in breath. that's in that man's nostrils, in that flesh, you put your confidence in God. He never changes. I love this. We're in a section right now. Oh, Moses. Let me tell you something. The power that was on that brother, the anointing that was on him. Oh, my goodness. The confidence in the Lord. Oh, Joshua sitting there. Moses passed. Joshua saw some mighty things. But he knew that Moses was his anointed vessel. But God said, oh, I got more chapters to write, Joshua. I got some things to write in you, son. And I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I'm no respecter of person, honey. You want me? There's your mark. And oh, we got a mark today. We got Paul. And I love how Brother Paul said it. Oh, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, honey, see, he's so faithful. He lets me see it every day. He put it in my hand. He put that ring on my finger. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. As Paul said, oh, he give me that exalted crown, that exalted rank of righteousness, but not to me only, honey. Unto all them that love his appearing. Now, doubters never enter in. They just don't. You got to cast all your confidence on God. It's time. Doubters don't enter in. We're talking about Moses, right? He's out there for how many years? Out there in the desert with them. 40 years, I believe. Is that right? That promised land was waiting from day one. Day one. They could have walked right on in. But 40 years. Literally walking around it and around it and around it, inches from it. But yet doubters will never enter in. There were a lot of doers in that group. Well, they challenged about doing all the time. Oh, God, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Show us some more acts, God. Nope. It was faith that was going to go in there. And there were two that had faith to go in. Isn't that a shame? Those millions that went out, only two of them adults went in. And people argue about the bride of Christ. Oh, the bride of Christ can't be that small. Two of them went in. Huh? I believe there's a little more than two. But I'll tell you what, that gold, silver, and precious stone is a little bit. There's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble out there. And it's hurting God's precious people. Because it'll cause you to doubt. It'll cause you to be ignorant to these things. Doubters never enter in, and doubters don't remain. I can't be confident upon your faith. I can't be confident upon somebody else's excitement. I need to be confident and know that God is excited about me. And he loves me and this promise is mine. This is so personal. We've talked about it many times. He's a God that he does. He makes you not only feel, he makes you know you're the only one. And in a sense, it really is. We're one body in him. Why wouldn't it be one? Why wouldn't he make us know that? Why wouldn't he deal with us like that? Amen. I thank God we have fellowship. I'm grateful to God. He says to gather ourselves the much the more as we see that day approaching. But I thank the Lord, you know, our fellowship is him. Our fellowship is him. Now see, those that are confident in what God is doing, those that are confident in his promise, those that are confident and assured in God's favor, God's choice. See, if you're hearing the word of God, you're God's choice. My sheep hear my voice. If you're his sheep, let me tell you something, you're his son. I don't know a father, at least a decent father naturally, that any son of his wasn't his choice. I've got two. And just thinking about them right now, man, my heart just wrenches with joy. Tears. I look at them. I have to watch myself eating across the table from them. Dad, they just say you're too weird. I love them. I love them like I can't explain. But then you talk about our Father, our Father, who gave you the very life of the one, the same life of the one that he adores. I mean, he sees you just like that. That's the life you have. And he adores you. He pants after you. He desires for you to grow up, to be mature, and to thank him, to rejoice in everything that he's provided. That's it. To be assured in that favor. When you're assured in that favor, you'll endure. You will. See, because you hear the favor of God from his word. You hear the extreme favor of God from Paul's gospel. And you'll endure. You'll endure ridicule. You'll endure hurt. You'll abide. And you'll inherit. Because there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory that takes you all the way along. There's something about being in love that does that. I'm just telling you. There's something about being in love that does it. Now, in our text here today in Hebrews 11, there's so many precious words, but there are two that the Lord's going to point out to us. They're very precious, so revealing. And revealing the heart of the inheritor of the promises. And though these two words, these two all-powerful words, because it's the word of God, it never changes. And the first one there is, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive his inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. Obeyed. Now, yes, it does mean listen. It does mean to heed. But it means far more than that. It means to allow oneself to be captivated. Allow oneself to be captivated. This has more meaning than just thinking about, well, I'm just going to be obedient. There's obedience when you're in love. There's an obedience when you're enamored. There's a captivating of your heart. We've talked about it many times. When you're in love, you do things that you'd never do for anybody else. That crazy stuff. Your friends, you don't want to be with us no more. Who are? Wait. How come Jesse never answers his phone? Because he's in love. I loved seeing that. I loved seeing that in the courtships that go on, and again with my eldest son, and it was sweet. You know, there was times we would talk and, you know, he'd fill me in on all these things, but then he started to fall in love. And somebody started occupying all his time. Obey. Let yourself be captivated. It's a difference, isn't it? You see the difference? It's first love. See, this was the promise to Abraham. What's your promise? Matter of fact, it's exceeding great and precious promises. Goes on in this precious 11th chapter. It says that they inherited all these things by faith. Amen. By faith, by faith, by faith. But it also says that without us, they will not be made perfect. We're offered a better thing. We have a greater promise. I love that. I love that. As we've spoken many times before, Abraham had said he sought a continuing city whose builder and maker is God. He wanted to see it. And yet here we are with Paul's gospel, by the word of his grace, that will build you up and give you an inheritance. That's a building that's being made. That's the glory for him that's being made. That was the very thing that Abraham was seeking to see. And someday he will. What he's building us to be for him. The very glory for him. It's marvelous. But very true. And so thankful we see. So to obey is to listen. Yes, to heed, but it's to allow oneself to be captivated. And the second one there, as you see in the next verse, by faith he sojourned. Sojourn means to dwell beside. So I want you to listen to these two together. When you hear his promise, allow yourself to be captivated and dwell beside it. Captivated and dwelling beside. Think of that. I'm captivated and I have to dwell beside it. I guess I'm just a romantic at heart. I kind of tend to think of that as a bride and a groom. I tend to think of that as this wooing of the word of God, where he says his bride is his pleasure forevermore at his right hand. I begin to see, praise God, in the word that why the city had no need of the sun, because the glory of God did lighten it, and he is the light thereof. There's something about them being together. But how we're together in that, in our promise, is captivated. First love. And dwelling beside it, staying in love. The church at Ephesus. Huh? They were captivated for a time. And then he said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. You're not dwelling beside it anymore. There's a sufficient witness there. There's two. Amen? And I love that. See, remember we've studied about the bride. She's a lover, but she's a warrior. She's a fighter. It's easy to fall in love, but you've got to fight to stay in love. You got to fight. I look at my wife sometimes, I say, hey, honey, we're partners. We're partners. See it? Captivated and dwelling beside it. You going to possess it? Amen. There it is. Now, brothers and sisters, what could ever be better than relying on God's mercy and grace? And I do, I think about how precious it is. I know our hearts are shouting right now. You know, sometimes there's a groaning in your heart and a thanksgiving to God. You're just speechless. But this is what the bridal truth does. There's times it manifests itself in different ways. But I know there's shouting going on in us right now. But why would I ever want to rely on anything but his strength and his faithfulness? Because you know what? I don't have any. I don't have any of that stuff. I think about my strength and my faithfulness, and that's false. Those aren't real. Oh, I've seen people try to bring it out and say, oh, look at this, look at this. That's like the emperor has no clothes. Don't you realize you're naked, man? I don't want to be looking at that. And it's true. See, my mind floods with every doubt about this guy. And you know what I'm talking about. You can think you got it going on and going on, and thanks be to God, there's going to be a big doubt in your head. But one thing is for certain, there's no doubt about Christ's love for me. I know he loves me. I know he died for me. Let me tell you something. What he became for us, he loves us. He loves us. And it's his ability, and it's his faithfulness. And best of all is his desire for me. It's his desire for me. It's this love that he has that's beyond any measure of man's comprehension. And this desire, see, that's my promise that he promised me. That's the promise that he promised you. He desires you. You know, the story of the goodly pearl, the merchant sold all that he had to have that one. The other one wasn't going to do. We saw that with Jacob. He got Leah first, but then, well, man, I'll tell you, I would have killed somebody after that. But he said, oh, you mean I'm still going to have Rachel? Okay, I'll wait. I'll wait. Another 7 years went by, only felt like a few days. Man. Let that speak to you. But see, he desires us. And he desires us to be his joint heir. He desires us to rule and reign with him. And brothers, I have to say this. Because I hear, and I can speak to men, I'm a man. We can be really stupid. We really can be dumb. I see all the ladies, sure can. But we talk about this wondrous word, and we receive this wondrous word. But you know, there's sometimes, you know, the men say, well, you know, how can I be this man, be a bride for Jesus? I just shake my head and I go, oh my. Well, sisters, does he not call you the sons of God? Sisters, do you get it? Do you get it? See, there's neither male nor female with God. There isn't. We know this. But he uses these examples because you know what? We're sheep. I tell you, I fish around them all the time. They get into holes and they're standing there and they can't get out and they wonder, how in the world I get there? Their head's in a fence. All they have to do is back up. But that ain't going to figure it. God has to reach us with really simple things. But God reaches us with the most intimate thing we know. And that's a spouse. And that's the difference. And that's what he wants. I'm thankful to God. I believe we're beginning to receive it. When we wrestle with those kinds of things, that's just the enemy wanting to confuse you, give you a reason to be stupid. And I will have to say that. I know that that might not be an eloquent thing to say, oh, he shouldn't say that. You know, maybe some things should be said. You read the Word of God. I've seen people really read the Word of God for what the Lord said. Huh? Remember when the prophet was talking to him, what's your God doing? Huh? Oh, he's going to the bathroom. Oh, why did God say it like that? That was really rude. Because he's God. I better get with it. Now, I thank the Lord I've become aware and I know the plan of God for me. I'm thankful I know the plan of God, but I'm thankful I know the plan of God for me. There's a difference there. It has to be personal. And specifically, this height of what his passion is after, that we're for the good pleasure of his will. The message that Brother Paul brought was that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will have a wife. And that wife will come out from among his people. Among his people. Yes, that's the truth. Just like the bride for Isaac, Rebekah. She was not going to come out of the world. She was going to come out of believers. Come out. He said, Dad said, Abraham said, go get my son's wife out from among my people. There was a specific place that that bride was coming out of. He didn't say, just go out and seek in the world to find this woman. He sent the servant specifically to the family of God to find his wife. She's coming out. The bride is coming out of the body of believers. Yeah. It's true. It's true. Once again, you can either walk around the promise, right? And be the infinite number of the millions that didn't go in. Or you can be like the two that said, you know what? This is what God said. I don't care what I see. I don't care what the other millions of the people are saying. I don't care of the doctrines of men. I'm listening to God's word. I'm going to take time to hear him. I'm going to take time to know him. Amen? This is it. And that wife is coming out of my people. And he goes on to say that she would be the one that God foreknew her heart. See, whom God foreknew, he predestinated. He did. Whom he foreknew, he foreknew. And he foreknew her passion because he gave it to her. That is why no one else heard that proposal. Think about this. There were only two at that well. There was the servant of Abraham, and there was Rebecca. That was it. It was that intimate. It was that, if you will, exclusive. He foreknew that she would receive it, just as he knows that you would receive the bridal message. That's why you're here. That's it. Every Sunday by the grace of God, every Wednesday by the grace of God, on Fridays by the grace of God, we gather as one at that well with the Holy Ghost. And it's that intimate and it's that precise. And you know what? It's just like Rebecca. Nobody else heard that. It was just her. She was the choice. The bride, the rib portion, is a body. It's a body out from among the body. And that rib portion is that choice for his wife. And she set aside and she hears that proposal. She's the one that hears it. Everybody else is around the town, but they ain't at that well. She comes back and she tells her family, doesn't she? I've just been proposed to. This is the lover of my soul. I'm going. Now, they were all excited about it and they were happy, but they didn't get it because they weren't the one that was proposed to. But they were happy for her. They were thankful. And think about their natural instinct. That servant said, we have to go now. We have to go now. This is that precise. This isn't about you. This is about him. This is about the bridegroom, honey. And it's on his time. It's on his time. And that family, as much as they loved her and would do anything for her and all of that, their first instinct and the first thing that they did was to try to truly hurt her from going, delay her. And if she would have been delayed, it wouldn't have happened. It had to be that precise. Once again, the family of God, they loved her, but they couldn't help her in this. Matter of fact, all they could do was hurt her. I pray you're understanding this. I love the family of God. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so thankful I do. I love to meet a Christian. But I know if I'm not feasting on the strong meat, I know if I'm not listening to Paul's gospel, I know if it's only milk, it's going to hurt my life. I'm going to get complacent. I'm not going to have that passion, that desire to go. Now, do you see that you? Do you really see that you? Do you see, as I just mentioned, in one body, with one mind, in one spirit? One body with one mind and one spirit. We're tightly fit. And we're compacted together. you know, when they're building, you know, I know this isn't something really to talk about, when they're building bombs and explosives and bullets and all of that, they don't willy-nilly throw it and just kind of wrap it up. They compact it tight. Because without it being compacted tight and fit together, it's not all-powerful. We're getting ready to explode, aren't we? And I think about what's being built for him. You think about all of this wondrous glory for him, all tightly fit and compacted together. I think, oh Jesus, what a boatload of glory is going to meet you pretty quick. But closing this up, Abraham went out into what God told him. Go out into what God told you. Go unto him out from among the camp. Amen. You know what God's told you. You've heard this message. Don't take it lightly. But he went. He heard the Lord tell him, this is your promise, son. It's yours. Now to his flesh it didn't feel like it. It was a strange land. His eyes couldn't see anything really that it was his. There were enemies all around. But God's word said, stay in it. It's yours. And God has told us the same. Hold that fast which thou hast. Hold that fast which thou hast. Hold that fast which thou hast. That no man take thy crown. I can say this, and I know we all can. Looking at me, I say, Lord, how can it be? Oftentimes, I don't feel much like a joint heir. But I'll tell you what. The word tells me, you're my love. He tells me, I desire you. He tells me, trust that I am yours and you are mine. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it doth not appear what it shall be. Or what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I want you to just think about that. We'll be like him when we see him as he is. I'm going to have eyes like him. I'm going to be able to see him as he is. And I'll tell you one thing right now. I glory in that man. Amen. He's a sweet bridegroom, praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Oh, praise you, God. Jesus. 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 Oh God, in the power of your might. Jesus. Oh, God. I will not drop you. Hallelujah. Don't you trust? I will catch you.
Jesus.
I will catch you.
Jesus.
Away. Oh, thank you, God. Father, we do just praise your Son and thank him. Oh, the wondrous name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you that you continue to draw us.
Thank you again for the encouragement of this truly such a precious bridal body. What a wonder this is. And Lord, may we love one another more and more in this and be excited about our wedding day, which is coming. Lord, thank you that there is this unity that's in you and what your Spirit continues to pour out. Lord, for every life that's here this morning, Lord, if there be just any indifference or any hesitation, let them know in such peace. Maybe they've heard and seen things today that they haven't ever heard or seen. God, let them know that these are the things of you. These are the things of the Word of God. That your gifts are alive, and they're alive, and they're alive. But Lord, this wonderful Holy Ghost that's been poured out, Lord, let us just take all the things of Christ that he gives, let him show them unto us. May it be all for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.